David Coss reporting the debate on the Queen's speech.
And now to a story so spectacular that it would serve unmodified as a scenario for the most ambitious of spy films, and before long probably will. It's the tale of attempts by the CIA to raise a sunken submarine, Russian submarine, from 3 miles down in the Pacific Ocean north of Hawaii, using a giant ship masquerading as an underwater mining vessel. The idea was not only to get hold of the nuclear warheads with which the sub was armed, but, more importantly, to get hold of the vessel's code machines. Now, the story, in parts anyway, originally surfaced in the press in 1975, not long after it all happened. It's only now that the full story involving one of the men running the expedition has come out, and it's in a book called A Matter of Risk. Gavin Scott has been talking to one of the authors and piecing together the extraordinary tale.
In the same year that the Americans lost their secret naval codes to the Russians through the capture of North Korea of the spy ship Pueblo, an obsolete Russian Gulf-class submarine blew up and sank in immensely deep waters 900 miles northwest of Hawaii. And on board was a cipher machine which would allow the CIA to get their own back. All they needed to recover it was $500 million, 6 years, 4,500 men, and the most mind-boggling array of technological aids ever devised. Roy Varner, author of A Matter of Risk, explained to me how difficult was the task they set themselves.
If you think of the World Trade Center being something in excess of 1,400 feet tall by the time you add the towers and everything to it, you have a person standing there with a fishing line trying to drop down in high winds and pick a small object off the sidewalk down below at midnight in pitch dark in heavy winds. You understand the tremendous forces that are going on that you have to counteract. They went down 3 miles in the ocean against ocean currents, against pressure that was 4.5 tons per square inch, to recover an object on the bottom that they could only see by sonar until they got within about 60 feet of it. So it was really an amazing technological feat just to locate the thing and pick it off the floor, much less recover it into a ship.
Indeed, but with a vessel like the Glomar Explorer, specifically built to do the job, with special engines to hold it still in stormy seas, a giant cavity inside to hold the submarine, and a massive computer-controlled claw to grab it, it was distinctly possible. But how to explain the presence of such a vessel in the area where the sub had gone down? How to prevent the Russians realizing what was going on? The answer, in the best traditions of late 20th century American extravaganza, was Howard Hughes.
Well, at that time, it was very feasible to mine metallic nodules off the seabed. And in fact, around Hawaiian Islands, there were supposed to be more than $1 billion worth of these nodules laying around. So they had to find a cover operation. And because of Howard Hughes aircraft that had done a lot of government work, and because of a lot of other undercover operations with the CIA that used the Hughes Empire as a cover, it was decided that would be very safe, that Howard Hughes was eccentric, that no one would think anything of the fact that he wanted tremendous secrecy, and who would suspect a mining ship going out picking up nodules of being able to pick up a submarine from 3 miles deep?
Who indeed? So on July the 5th, 1974, the Glomar Explorer found itself exactly over the spot in the Pacific Ocean where the CIA satellites pinpointed the wreck of the nuclear submarine, and they began to lower the 180-foot-long claw 3 miles down to the bottom of the ocean. Watching its progress through the murk on TV monitors, the scientists saw the submarine appear beneath their amazing machine, opened its arms, and dropped it down for the grab. Too hard. It hit the bottom with an appalling crash, and everything stopped.
They backed it off and looked at it through the television cameras, and the experts within the CIA control room inside the ship 3 miles above inspected it and said that they didn't think there was any problem, so they went ahead with it. Then they scooped up the submarine and started pulling this thing up at 6 feet a minute. Well, after it went about a mile from the seabed, they started to have troubles. And as the men were watching, someone screamed. Everyone turned to the screens, and they could see the submarine hull starting to rip, starting to tear off. And in the monitors, they could see three of the legs on one side start to crack, and the submarine start to rip, and most of it rolling out of the remaining arms of the claw and tumbling into the dark. And along with it came a nuclear war-headed missile tumbling out of its silo and falling separately into the dark beneath the ship. Everyone on the ship froze, and most of them assumed that was it, because if the warhead went off even 3 miles below, it would probably destroy the ship above it.
But amazingly, it didn't, and after heaving one of the most heartfelt sighs of relief of all time, the crew of the Glomar Explorer hauled up what was left of the submarine and dragged it into the vast cavity within the ship's bowels. What they had was the front 38 feet of the 320-foot submarine, a slime-covered, crushed, twisted hunk of metal, alive with radiation from the damaged missiles and reeking with the bodies of the dead Russian crewmen. But doggedly, the space-suited technicians went through it, sifting every piece of debris for the intelligence data they needed to justify the whole immense enterprise. They didn't find it. All they got was the waterlogged remains of a single code book. The coding machine was still down on the bottom, along with the rest of the submarine, and before the Glomar could go back to try again, burglars had raided Howard Hughes' headquarters, the stolen documents had gone to the press, and the Los Angeles Times blew the cover. Within weeks, the CIA had dismantled, stripped, and mothballed their extraordinary vessel, and that was that. I put it to Roy Varner, wasn't the whole thing, in the end, a ghastly and unthinkably costly fiasco for American intelligence?
In terms of their aim and the mission, they were not successful. In terms of other things, they were successful. They were successful in developing and proving out a secret cover operation that lasted 6 years right under the public's nose. They were extremely successful in developing the massive technology to recover a heavy object like that from 3 miles deep in the ocean, even to find it and pick it up. The technology of that has spilled over into ocean technology, into other mining ships that are now out there actually mining the ocean, which is the irony of the story, that this operation actually stimulated ocean mining. So there are carryovers in the technology and that will benefit mankind from now on.
But whether the unbelievable Glomar Explorer, with its claw and its computers, its TV monitors and its vast cavity, ever again sets forth on the high seas to do battle for the free world with an extravagance even Ian Fleming would have envied, seems at this moment in the history of the struggle between the superpowers very unlikely indeed.
That report from Gavin Scott, and the name of the book, in case you missed it first time round, is called A Matter of Risk.